Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Let's continue with our teaching entitled, The Holy Spirit, the Third Person of the Godhead. I believe the Holy Spirit has led me to teach on this topic because there is too much confusion and misinformation about the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. God wants you to know that this discord was intentionally devised by Satan to keep God's children powerless and ineffective against the schemes of the devil. Since we are beginning a new year, there is no better time to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, so you too can live in victory, spirit, soul, and body in 2019. This teaching consists of five parts. An introduction, part one, who is the Holy Spirit? Part two, what is the Holy Spirit like? All of these parts have been completed thus far. Part three, the Holy Spirit's godly attributes. And part four, why should I be filled with the Holy Spirit? I trust that this teaching based on God's word, not religious traditions, will be a blessing for all our listeners. For those who have not yet received this gift, I pray that you will be encouraged to do so. And for those who are already filled, I pray that you will gain greater understanding on how to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to a more excellent way in Jesus. Listener, if this is your first time with us, we welcome you and ask that you please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the first episodes of this teaching now archived under our radio broadcast page. We do not want you to have a gap of information on this teaching. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Now let's continue with part three of this teaching entitled, The Holy Spirit's Godly Attributes. Last time we were together, we found out that the Holy Spirit is deity, equal to God the Father and God the Son, and that he has the same attributes as God. Like God Almighty, the Holy Spirit has no beginning or end. Last week, before we ran out of time, I was giving you scriptures that confirm that mankind was made in the image of God. In short, we are spirits first, just like God, and we possess a soul and live in a physical body made of the dirt of the earth. I would like to give you one more scripture on this matter before we continue with the Holy Spirit's godly attributes. Let's go to John chapter 4, verse 24. I will be quoting from the New King James Bible unless otherwise stated. John 4, 24. Again, we are made in the image and likeness of God, and God is a spirit, and so are we. The verse says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. In other words, with knowledge and understanding. To summarize, we are spirits made in our Heavenly Father's image, and to truly worship him, we must do so with spiritual knowledge and understanding. And this spiritual insight comes from the Holy Spirit, who teaches us the deep things of God. This is why it is vitally important for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let's continue with the godly attributes of the Holy Spirit. Here is one more godly attribute. The Holy Spirit makes the new birth or salvation possible. Let's all turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts 2:38 says, Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for or because the remission or forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everything produces after its kind. This is what our Heavenly Father ordained from the creation of this world. Following this principle, all that natural man can do is reproduce more flesh. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Again, natural man reproduces natural men, but we are talking about the Holy Spirit and his attributes. So let's find out what he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Verse 22 reads, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Holy Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again," that meaning salvation, "not of corruptible seed or natural birth, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." Again, when man gives birth, it is a corruptible seed. We know that because there is death in this natural realm. But when we are born again through the Holy Spirit, this is the incorruptible seed or the word of God, which provides salvation forever and ever. Amen. Again, man can produce natural births, but because of Adam's sin, everyone born into this world is born under the curse, which is spiritual separation from the Heavenly Father. It is the Holy Spirit that produces recreated spirits through being born again in Jesus. Let's turn to John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 12 and 13. John 1, 12 and 13. Verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Now the him and the his name is referring to Jesus the Christ. Let's go to verse 13. "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Amen. Let's continue. Here's another godly attribute. The Holy Spirit has the divine power to raise the dead. He raised Jesus from the dead, will raise us from the dead at the second coming. Until then, the Holy Spirit dwells in us to make alive or give life to our mortal bodies. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Again, the Holy Spirit has the divine power to raise the dead. Romans 8, 11 says, "But if the Holy Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Let's go to one more verse with regards to raising the dead. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, "And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power." Amen. Family, this concludes part 3 of this teaching of the godly attributes of the Holy Spirit. Before we continue with part 4, I would like to summarize what we have learned thus far, so that when we go to the final part of this teaching, and that is to receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, you will be prepared to receive the Holy Spirit without confusion or misgivings. In summary, the Holy Spirit was given to us after Jesus died, resurrected, and ultimately ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. Jesus explained to us that the Holy Spirit was given to us to provide us the supernatural power needed to be effective witnesses for him and to keep Satan from deceiving us. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we can depend on the Holy Spirit to help us, warn and protect us, comfort us, guide and lead us, and to teach us the deep things of God. Praise God, praise God. Unlike Satan, the Holy Spirit is a gentle man. He will never force you to do anything you do not want to do. We have a free will, and we must choose to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to manifest Himself through us. But when we do, we will be blessed beyond measure. Always remember that the Holy Spirit, who is one with God, knows the end at the beginning. And as a result, His counsel and direction are perfect and to our advantage. He will never mislead you or cause you any harm. He loves us and will always tell us the truth. I know from personal experience that the Holy Spirit has made my life most enjoyable and successful in every way, in the good and difficult times. As a result of our obedience to God's word, my husband and I are living debt-free in a beautiful home that is paid for and experiencing good health, a sound mind, and a good marriage. Now, I am the first to admit that our lives were not always this way. When we were living according to our flesh, we were a big mess going to happen, and we were miserable in every way. I'm bringing this up because I know Satan has some of you Christians in this defeated situation right now. Therefore, I want to encourage and inspire you by taking the time to share with you some of my life challenges that the Holy Spirit assisted me out of these past 40 years in my Christian walk. Let's start with some scriptures that warn us of Satan's attack on God's people and what God says his word can do for us if we obey his word. So let's all turn to John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, 33. Jesus is speaking. Again, I want you to take note that these verses let us know or warn us about Satan's attack. Jesus is speaking. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I want to point out two very important things. I don't want you to miss this, family, because too many Christians are blaming God for things that God has already placed dominion, power, and authority in our hands. So let me reread, and then I'm going to expound. It says, Jesus is speaking again, these things I have spoken to you, that in me, or Jesus, you may have peace. Now, notice the wording. It says, may have peace. The reason we may have peace is because we can reject the peace. We can choose to do it our way. And when we do it out of our own thinking, our own experiences, our own desires, we will probably miss the mark. But when we do it God's way, when we do it the way Jesus Christ did, walked on this earth, we are going to experience the peace of God. Then it goes on to say, in the world, you will have tribulation. It doesn't say you may have. It says you will have. The reason you're going to have tribulation is because we have an adversary, Satan, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's looking for someone that he can destroy. So we're going to get some situations in our lives that are not pleasant, that are not going to make us happy in the natural. But it says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. No, it is not good to have to go through poverty, sickness, or any other kind of negative thing against that falls against the word of God. But we can be joyful in knowing that we have overcome whatever situation comes against us because of Jesus. We have the answer in the word of God. We have victory because of Jesus the Christ. All right, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Isaiah 1, 19 and 20 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Wow. All right. Again, I want to expound on certain points here. It says, if you are willing and obedient. I know you're willing because you're listening into the radio and you're expecting to hear about the Word of God. So I know you're willing. You're willing to hear the Word and to hopefully get some understanding. But until you are obedient to the Word of God, in other words, you are living out the Word in your life, then there is a missing piece in the lifestyle of the Christian. So we not only have to hear the Word, we have to obey the Word. And when we do, it says, you shall eat the good of the land. But if we refuse and rebel, oh Lord, it says we will be devoured by the sword. The sword referring to Satan. He'll come to steal, kill, and destroy you because you're out of the will of God. You are doing your thing. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. These are the warnings that I'm trying to highlight so you can see God is always trying to protect his children. And he teaches us by his word. He doesn't want us to go through all these horrible situations that some of us go through. But if we're not willing and obedient, then we're going to go through them. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 54, one verse, verse 17. Isaiah 54, 17. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you, the Lord, shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. All right, here we have it. It says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises up against you in judgment shall be condemned. Family, this should give you a peace of mind. This should give you joy unspeakable because you know that the battle is God's, not yours. But if we're not willing and obedient, then those things that we're allowing Satan to come against us will take root. So our job is to stay in a expectation of God's word and also do our part by being obedient to the word of God. All right. Now, these promises of protection and provisions are based on each Christian knowing what God's word says and then applying God's word to their life. Here is my last scripture that gives us a promise of protection if we are obedient to the word of God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to read verses 29 through 33. Proverbs 1, 29 through 33. This time, I will be reading from the New Living Bible translation, starting with verse 29. For they hated knowledge, referring to God's word, and chose not to fear or reverence the Lord. They rejected my advice, God is speaking, and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me, that's the living God, to death. Fools are destroyed for their own complacency. Now, here is the last part of this passage, which will give you joy unspeakable. It says, but all who listen to me, referring to the living God, will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. That's the assurance that we have as being obedient to God's word. Well, not only are we going to live in peace, but we will be untroubled by fear of harm. Things are going to come up in this world. We can count on them. That's what Jesus told us. There will be tribulation, but there is peace in the Heavenly Father, his word. And if we are obedient, we will eat the good of the land. Satan has no new schemes to deceive God's people. He continues to steal, kill, and destroy mankind by tempting us through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I want to share with you three examples of how Satan tried to use these same lies to get me off course and to steal, kill, and destroy me. But for the grace of God and choosing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and not my flesh, I was triumphant. The victory over these challenges and many more like them has made me bolder and more confident in my covenant through Jesus. I want to start with an example that deals with the lust of the flesh. I know there are Christians in and out of ministry today who have experienced or are currently experiencing a similar situation. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is leading me to share my experience to help those who are struggling in a similar manner. Please don't be ashamed or lose confidence in God's word, but rather run to our Heavenly Father and allow the Holy Spirit to bring you peace and resolution to the issue, just like He did for me. This challenge took place at the beginning of 2010, after my husband and I had graduated from ministry school, had earned a BA and MA in theology, and were licensed ministers at our church in Los Angeles, California. My husband had already heard from the Lord that at some point we would be moving to Kansas to start a new church that would teach the word of faith. Both of us were ministering consistently under the leadership of our church home. We were not baby Christians at this time. This is an important part. Listen, family, this is an important point because Satan works extra hard to get God's church leaders into sin to try to convince Christians that it's okay to sin, or convince us that the Word of God does not work today, or worse yet, that it is okay to live a double lifestyle in sin. I can tell you for a fact that all of these lies will still kill and destroy you. Now, in preparation for our ultimate move to Kansas City, the Lord has spoken to me clearly that I should continue my studies in theology so that I would be able to teach His word with clarity and accuracy. Therefore, I was enrolled in the doctorate program at a theology school in Inglewood, California. I was truly enjoying all the schoolwork and ministry work that I was involved in at that time. Then in January 2010, I found out that my husband was habitually watching internet pornography and participating in adulterous affairs. I was shocked, hurt, and angry. I felt completely betrayed and needed spiritual counseling. I prayed and was led by the Holy Spirit to meet with our church advisor for the licensed ministers, which I did post-haste. However, as I was waiting for a day or two for the appointment date to come, my first thoughts were not in line with the Word of God, because Satan came in immediately with a fleshly solution, and that was to get even and to have an adulterous affair myself. He said, "Anyway, God would forgive you and cleanse me of the sin." Satan had also convinced me to get a divorce because he reminded me that the Bible allowed divorce when adulterous affairs were involved. Further, Satan kept telling me that this was the end of my godly assignment and that it was shameful to be in this situation. He kept telling me that I was a failure after 25 years of marriage and that this is why this happened to me. He continued with a barrage of negative and damaging scenarios that he said would teach John a lesson and show him that two could play this game, always reminding me that God would forgive me, that He was long-suffering, patient, and forgiving. Satan was quoting the Bible to me just like he quoted the Bible to Jesus after Jesus' 40-day fast, recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 4. But I knew deep in my heart that all of Satan's lies would only hurt my relationship with my living God and me in the long run. After much godly counseling and prayer, I chose to forgive and allow the Holy Spirit to heal my pain and hurt with the Word of God. I have learned to put my Heavenly Father first in all things, including my marriage. John repented and received extensive godly counseling and submitted to several Christian overseers. He took the steps to be forgiven and move forward with his godly assignment. I thank God I did not miss a beat. I was only 2 months from completing my thesis and participating in the dissertation when this situation was revealed to me. I know now that Satan was trying his hardest to steal all that God has provided, and I had accomplished through his word. However, because I continue to meet with the Holy Spirit and pray in my heavenly language daily to assist me through this challenge, I obtained my doctorate in theology on time, continued with my ministry assignments without interruption, and shortly after the church ordained me. The last but not least, my marriage was saved in Jesus. Family, I'm here to tell you that there is power in the Word of God. And it was only through the help, comfort, and leading of the Holy Spirit that I was victorious in Jesus. Amen. Family, this is one of many examples. I have two more examples that I want to share with you folks in the week to come. But please, please, family, keep in mind that we're going to have to stand on God's word and be led by the Holy Spirit. So my time is up, but please return next week as we continue on the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.